this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness and Dentistry. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. And I'm joined by my very dear friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, we invite you to check out all of our respective links, websites, and course offerings on the links below. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But before we begin, it's a special day today. So Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Happy Hanukkah. It happens to be the first night of Hanukkah as well. Happy Kwanzaa to those who celebrate. And we just wanted to reach out and wish everyone good health, peace, and joy during this holiday season. And what we're going to be talking about today is related to that. We're going to be talking about creating boundaries and why saying no in dentistry can save your mental health. And speaking of saving your mental health, we do want to mention that our next Lightside Live course is coming up May 9th and 10th of 2025 at Glidewell Dental Lab in Irvine, California. So we'd love for you to join us. And in the spirit of the holiday season, we do have an early bird registration rate, which expires on January 30th. But given the fact today is December 25th, you have 6 days to purchase before the tax incentive expires. So that was a lot for my introduction there, wasn't it, Kyle? For this one?
It is, but it's such a great topic, and yep, it's such a great time of the year. And like you said, this time of the year is a great reminder on why boundaries are so important.
Totally. 100%.
I think, you know, later we can get into talking about boundaries in the dental office, but since we're leading with this holiday mm-hmm. season, let's talk about boundaries with our home life, boundaries yeah. with work. You know, back in the day when many of you know, my dad is a dentist for 46 years, when he came home, he couldn't do anything for the yeah. business. You know, maybe he could bring home a chart. I never saw him do that, but maybe he did. But that's kind of it. Maybe he could yeah. have brought a case pen back and looked at occlusion or tried to whack something up. He didn't do that, but maybe he did. But now it's very easy to look at your email, to contact your laboratory technician, to reach out to a specialist, do a digital smile design, go on to your aligner treatment planning system and yep. do this. And I think where I had a big downfall in my life, and where you and I have seen this in many other doctors' lives, is trying to do too many things at once.
Yep.
So my problem was I was trying to run a business, I was trying to work in a business, and I was trying to be a family man all at the mm-hmm. same time, literally yeah. at the same time. The time that I'm prepping a crown, I'm thinking also about what my kids and what my wife is doing. I'm thinking about what, you know, is going on with the business. Do we need to do ordering, hiring, and firing? And once I realized that if I was more present where I was, I could be more productive. And so yeah. it's this idea that when I'm doing clinical dentistry, I am a clinical dentist and I'm not the owner right now. And when I'm doing managerial stuff, I'm not a clinical dentist. Absolutely. And when I'm doing either one of those, I'm not a dad, I'm not a husband.
You know my favorite quote by Steve Uzell that's quoted in the book, The One Thing, the multitasking is merely the opportunity to screw two things up at the same time.
I love that.
Yeah. And look, the truth of the matter is that we as human can't multitask. We can switch task, which is going from one to the next. And we think we're doing two things at once. We're not. And the statistic I always use as an example is, can you technically do two things at the same time? Like texting and driving? Technically, yes. But can you focus on two things at the same time? The answer is no. And the unfortunate statistics and mortality of distracted driving speak loudly for themselves. So there is a cost that we bear when we choose to attempt to, quote, multitask and do two things at the same time. Because we really can't. We just can't.
Yeah. And I think during this holiday season, what's so important to do when you're at home
Yeah.
is fully be home.
100%.
So think about it. When you're at home, you're not a dentist anymore.
Nope.
Okay. I mean, yes, if you're, your cousin has a seed caught in their tooth and they need you to get it out, sure, get it out, right? But don't be thinking about that patient that's coming in the following week. Don't be thinking about that implant that you placed 2 weeks ago. Be there with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones, and don't be distracted from that. But you have to set boundaries for that.
And I love that you just said that because I was sitting here thinking to myself, oh, I know what our listeners are thinking. Oh yeah, I'm gonna just magically turn off my thoughts and I'm not gonna be thinking about that implant from 2 weeks
Sure.
ago. So what you and I talk about all the time is that these mental processes are skills, and they're no different than the hand skills that we have all developed over the years. And you and I have said on this podcast before, think about how long it took you to prep your first crown and how long does it take you now. So skills are skills, whether they're of the mind or the hand. And so one of the things I would say as an antidote to all of a sudden my mind is racing of that patient, whatever the procedure, is flipping it around to being grateful for something that's in your present universe. Like if you're with your family and you start thinking about the implant, you can sit there and go, no, I'm really grateful for my spouse right now. I'm really grateful for my kids. And think of something specific to be grateful or thankful for. And then that begins to start the cascade, and we stop what's been called or has been described as amygdala hijack, where our amygdala gets all revved up with these emotionally based thoughts, and then we get stuck in that hijack, and oop, then we go down the rabbit hole about, oh, what about this patient? What about that patient? But the antidote is a slow reframe and refocus to the people that you're physically present with at that time.
Yeah, I heard someone say the answer to being more successful is generally doing less, not doing more. And I was actually just listening to a podcast today with Alex Hormozi, and he was talking about this too. He said, "I'm so stringent with my time, but that's because this is what I'm focusing on now, and it makes me more successful by being stringent on my time." And when he's doing one thing, he's not doing the other. And when he's doing the other, he's not doing this thing, right? And for me, I had a hard time doing boundaries in any way. So I had a hard time boundaries with my family. I had a hard time boundaries with my team. I had a hard time setting boundaries with my patients, especially, which we'll get into. And just like you said earlier, once I started first boundaries with my patients because that was where I suffered the most. But what's funny is once I got comfortable setting boundaries with my patients, it got easier to set boundaries with my team. It got easier to set boundaries with my family. It got easier to set boundaries with strangers. Like I was just thinking about this the other day because I'm always thinking boundaries, expectations, and communications, and I'm always pointing it out to my wife too. And the other day we were leaving Costco, and you leave Costco, and at the end there's someone there that's selling you solar or trying to sell you a new kitchen or as you're walking away, all right? And I used to be the person that just took the flyer and said, like, oh, okay, yeah, let me think about it. And now I'm very easy. Like, this is such a small micro boundary, but it's a skill. Just saying, no thanks. I'm good. Like, that may be the way to start this process. Is say no to the person handing you a flyer, right? It's like we're
I
such
love that.
people pleasers that we need to start small, but you get more comfortable at this.
Absolutely. The self-boundary thing is so important because whether you're in clinical practice and particularly as an owner, or if even associated with other responsibilities, and that hybrid exists for some. Or you're like us, where the majority of our time is spent in non-clinical pursuits, but we're still business owners.
Yes.
Nobody's going to tell you no, not to answer that email and not to do this or not to do that. So the self-boundary is incredibly important. You and I were talking about this before we hit record because you and I want to schedule a meeting with somebody, and I made a comment to you I've been really, really working hard on building my business this year. Haven't taken a full week off since this past February. And so I was looking at my calendar, and in my thought, I was thinking, oh, well, maybe we can. No, we're not. We're going to do this day or this day, and that's it. Right. So.
I mean, it's like the same reason why I schedule in my exercise
Yeah.
into my week, right? I schedule in when I'm taking my kid to practice. Those are times that you can't book on my calendar then
Yep.
because it's pre-scheduled in. That is a boundary that I'm setting with myself and that I'm setting with others.
Absolutely. And we always have to remember too, because oftentimes when I'm talking to my coaching clients, they'll say something like, well, what if I set the boundary and then this happens? And so usually my response is, okay, let's work through it. What if that did happen?
Can you give me
And
an example?
oh, actually, I have a real life example. This was when I was fairly new in coaching, but it was a real huge success. I had a specialist client who was having challenges with his team, and they had a protocol in their office in terms of chart documentation, where a lot of it was templated and it was supposed to be entered before he went to the next patient. And they just weren't doing it. And so I said to him, okay. So, and this is a bit of an extreme, but he was pretty much at his wit's end. I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to finish. We're going to make sure everybody understands the protocols or re-understands. And you're going to stand there and not see the next patient until that's done. It took three incidences and it was over, meaning they fell in line. And there was a lot to it, because if it wasn't done then, he was taking away time with his wife and kids, which was very important to him. So there was a reason for it. But that setting of that boundary and holding to it taught his team that no, he was serious, and this is what we're going to do from now
Yeah, when I hear that story, I think of the three words that I talk about all the time: expectations,
on.
boundaries, and communication. And that was what happened. They reset the expectations, said, listen, the expectation is we don't go to the next patient until the note is done. They communicated that, right? And then they set the, and then they enforced the boundary. And it sounds magical, but so many things are simple but not easy.
Yeah, so many things. Well, and the other thing, and I think this is going to be my theme for 2025, which is we as dentists and dental professionals need to stop kidding ourselves and deluding ourselves into thinking that we're this unique animal. Now, let me explain. What we do at the chair, very unique. Every single darn thing else isn't. It's a business like any other business. And so if we can get out of our way and stop fooling ourselves into thinking we're unique and there's no way around it, that's when we're going to be up. If we get out of that trap, that's when we're going to start to be able to facilitate change. You and I had an episode a couple of weeks ago on equity in dental practices. And boy, that got a lot of attention on LinkedIn. That was really interesting.
Sure
I had
did.
CEO, because I reposted yours, and I base because you were the one that posted the video, and I put a little thing in there, basically what I just said about we need to stop kidding ourselves. Oh man, did that get a lot of attention? That was really interesting. And so business has answers out there if we look for them.
And I want to reiterate that it's not a dirty word. A lot of
No.
people think if you focus on business, you're not focusing on clinical. And I am here to tell you, you can do incredible work, have an efficient business, get paid well. I mean, a great example of this is my partner, Manajad. Like, he does amazing work. He's a good businessman. And the practice runs well because he sets so many boundaries with patients, which is probably a good transition into talking about boundaries with patients. Because this is an area where I really suffer. So let me give you an example. I would tell a patient, we're going to take an impression. Then we're going to do, let's say it's a denture case. And then we're going to do a wax try-in. And then we're going to do a teeth try-in. And then we're going to do a final denture try-in or an immediate, whatever. And they would say, well, okay, so it's 2 weeks in between that. Do you think you could do that first one in 10 days? Because I have some place that I need to go. And I would rush this stuff. I would rush it and it may not be good. And then something would be wrong with it. And then we'd have to do it again. And I was just trying to be a good customer service person, make someone happy, which sounds kind of good, right? Hey, I can
Sure.
rush it. Maybe the lab can do it. But it always ended up biting me. A patient would have a big treatment plan. They would say, I can't afford that. That's not something I can do. And I would say, oh, well, maybe we can change this. And maybe I can take less on this. Maybe I can use a different lab. And I'm telling you, every time I budged, I got in trouble.
Yep.
Not, I didn't get in trouble like with the law or anything, but
Right.
I suffered, let's say.
Yeah.
I suffered financially. I suffered from the treatment standpoint, like the treatment wasn't as good. I suffered from a relationship standpoint with the patient or with my team or with my business
Yep.
partners. And I realized that so much of it was me not being able to set a boundary. And I think a lot of that came from a fixed mindset, being like, I need this patient. This patient that's in the chair came to me and I need to do the treatment.
Yeah.
No matter what their personality was, no matter how they talked about the previous dentist. And one of the things that I like to teach in my mini courses, my signature course, our course together, is that there's more patients out there.
Yes, amen.
You don't just need more patients, you need maybe more of the right patients. Patients that show up on time, patients that pay their bills, patients
Yeah.
that understand your boundaries, that understand who you are, that
100%.
value you. And when you do that, you can have an incredible practice. You can have a great business. You can love coming into your practice, but you have to set your boundaries.
And if you end up letting go a patient that is a real challenge and a problem, like attracts like. And so often we've heard, well, what if they leave and they get angry and they tell their friends? It's like, well, do you really want, the kind of people that hang out with somebody that's that difficult?
True.
Like, come on. So because the opposite of that is what so many people teach when it comes to patient referrals. What's one of the first things they say? You talk to the patient that you really enjoy, that had good treatment, that was very compliant during treatment. Those are the people that
Respectful.
you ask a referral from because they probably hang out with similar kind of people. This is the same thing, but in the opposite, right? There's so many people out there that we can treat. It's okay. And so then the question becomes, if you allow your boundary to be violated, listen to my words, if you allow your boundary to be violated, what's the cost?
Yes. And a great example of this is we just had our Lightside Club, which is my monthly or twice monthly mastermind that I do for people that have taken my Lightside Academy course if they want to continue growth and have this support group. And we had Don on, who who's one of your clients too, and who's taken our Lightside Live course. I mean, he's done everything. He's just a great example
I love
of
Don.
what can change when you put time and money and effort into something, right? And Don was talking about how he recently dropped some big insurances and how he's also incorporated payment before the patient sits down. And my practice, we take it even to the next level, and you can't even get the appointment unless you pay. And I know there's going to be people listening that go, there's no way my patients would do this.
So can I interrupt for a quick second?
Yes.
Look, I'm not vain. I've had a couple plastic surgery procedures. Do you think they let me schedule the darn procedure before it's paid? The
Hell
answer
no.
is no. And by the way, to extend that, all post-ops, plastic surgery, orthopedic, I don't care. They go, oh yeah, okay, so your surgery's on the 13th. The doctor will see you on the 17th at 3:30. And we all go, oh, okay. Sorry, I just turned out myself.
No, but we have to set this boundary and enforce it and make it a policy. When we bought our practice, this wasn't the policy. Okay. They were doing the typical, oh, yeah, pay, we'll send you a bill. Pay when you want to. Now, my practice, when we bought it, had been there for 60 years. So when we started changing things, there had been people that were there for like 50 years. And we're like, but
Totally.
you always send me a bill. And we had to change that and said, well, I'm sorry, that's not the policy anymore. You know, it's due at the beginning, it was it's due before you leave. And we
Right.
changed that to be it's due before you sit down.
Right.
And then we went another step further and said it's due in order to schedule. And now it's just so normal. It's very normal.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because something just came to my mind, talking about practice transition when you're changing a policy of that gravity or magnitude. Sorry, Defying Gravity is in my head. I just saw Wicked the other
Great
day.
song.
Oh my God, the movie was amazing.
We haven't seen the movie yet, but I want to.
It's amazing. So, often at Spear, when we taught facially generated treatment planning and we were teaching docs to take photographs that weren't taking photographs in all their exams to begin with, oftentimes what we recommended was, okay, great. So if you're a little concerned about existing patients, kind of wondering what's going on, just start with the new patients. And because guess what? They don't know any different. And so I'm not necessarily proposing that, over a long haul, you have two policies. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in order to help facilitate change, particularly to get team members bought in and on board with the idea, what if we just started with our new patients?
I think it's a great idea. Also, because you're going to be able to practice your scripts with them.
Totally, totally. And look, let's put ourselves in our patient's shoes here for a minute. Let's say you have been coming to a dental office for 10 years. Okay. And let's say you have had a little bit of work here and there that was in the four figures, maybe broaching into the five. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, we want payment up front. To be honest, if I were that patient, I'd be like, I've never done that before. Like, why do you care? So I think there's a lot of reason to start with new patients and then slowly transition in and allow yourself to be flexible when needed, particularly if you have a track record with somebody that's been with the practice a long time. So,
Totally, because like when we first started with having people pay, you know, afterwards instead of sending them a bill, we had some people that had been paying bills, you know, we send it to them, they pay it the next week, and it's no big deal. Those people we knew every time they're going to pay, right? So it wasn't a big deal. And then eventually we transitioned them over a year or 2 or 3 years, right? But it got to the point where there were some people that we knew, like, hey, whenever we send them a bill, they take
Totally.
8 weeks to pay. And then we just had to tell them, I'm sorry,
Bingo.
we can't do that with your account. You know,
Exactly.
for you, we need it to before you go back, right?
Yeah,
And they say,
exactly.
well, oh, I didn't have my wallet. I don't have it. I'm sorry, we can't bring you back without it being paid. And that is setting a boundary with a patient. And what I thought when I started setting boundaries was that patients would respect me less, patients would complain more. Don't get me wrong, there were people that complained, but they respected me more.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And often dentistry, whether it's with patients or I hear it more amongst ourselves when we're frustrated, it's like, what do you think? We go to the grocery store and the grocery store is going to go, oh yeah, you can pay us next week. Like
Pay whenever you want.
it's absurd, right? So, it's true that it's absurd. And so we're not these unique animals that we think we are.
So tell me about setting boundaries with teams, because you're the team expert.
So, I'm thinking about Project Aristotle. So that was that experiment, if you will, that Google conducted, real small company, Google, where
Never heard of them.
they were actually looking, and this goes back a number of years, but it's still just as relevant today. They were looking to actually find out what individual attributes were attributed to a person that would make them a good hire. And actually what they found out was actually the opposite. It was more about the team that, the rising tide rises all ships. And that one of the conclusions was that structure and clarity were some of the keys to high performing teams over and over and over again. And so it wasn't about survival of the fittest, it was about survival of the best fit. And
So when you're
so,
talking about structure and clarity, you're talking about that coming from the top down then.
yes, 100%, 100%. So if we don't have job descriptions in place, if we don't have benchmarking in place, if we don't have regular reviews or as Spear calls it, growth conferences in place, then it's easier for someone who may not want to be as compliant to think, well, that's not my job. Because ideally, in a good, healthy environment, we should never hear that statement. Because the minute you hear that, that's kind of scary for a whole host of different reasons. But truly understanding what is our job, what are the expectations of our job, and what are the consequences of not doing it. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about retribution as an employee. That may be relevant in certain circumstances. What I'm really talking about is having team members understand that if you don't get the lab cases out on time, that Mrs. Jones may not have her flipper, her veneer, her denture, her whatever for her daughter's wedding. Like, that's a big deal, you know? And so it's not just that we're, you know, checking a checkbox, it's that we're serving another human being. And so having the structure in place, having the clarity in place, having, because I talk about this in my online course in the delegation section, which is lesson three. And when it comes to delegation or just task assignment, you know, how you set it up in the beginning is as important as the person completing it in the end, period.
Can you say there's a little script that you give that you say to an employee when you're explaining something? Can you say that? Because that really
So when it
changed
comes
everything for
to
me.
Peer delegation, and this was a modification of my dear friends and mentors, Jen Barley and Karen Sullivan. So it basically goes something like this. Oh, and before I even tell you, remember, if we're talking about delegation, there's a reason why you pick them, right? Like, you think they're going to do well. Like, why wouldn't you pick them then, right? So remember that, because that's important. So it's like, hey, Kyle, I really want to talk to you about taking over this specific task, duty, responsibility, whatever. And I'm really excited because I think you're the right person for the job because you've always enjoyed doing XYZ. And so, you know, before we even talk about it, I really want you to understand that I believe that your ability to be successful in completing this task is as much about my ability to communicate what's needed to be done and what success looks like as it is your ability to do it to begin with. Believe it or not, Kyle. So I want you to understand, if I ask you to, you know, share with me your understanding of what I just said, if it's tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and I'm asking you, how's it going? What's going on, et cetera, this is as much about me making sure that I've communicated with you properly as it is you're doing the task. This is not about micromanagement. This is about partnership. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, so
That's
you're making a safe space for them to ask questions, to feel like if they perform incorrectly, they're not going to get in trouble unless you told them exactly what to do and they didn't do it right.
And so, you know, part of this whole process is adequate documentation, adequate communication of what success looks like, what completion looks like, all that kind of stuff. And what this does that a lot of people miss is that it sets you up for a positive, constructive conversation if things aren't going well. Because if you have that conversation, as I just described, you then share with the individual what it is you're looking for them to delegate or to complete via delegation. You have whatever needs to be in writing in order. And then they play it back to you and they are sharing with you hook, line, and sinker that they understand what's going on. And then they don't do it. Now you can have a constructive conversation coming from a curious place. So it could sound something like this, you know, hey, Kyle, I want to talk to you about something. I know last week we reviewed you taking over this task. We talked about what needed to be done. We, you know, we had the the whatever, the papers, whatever. And you shared with me that your understanding of what needed to be done. You played back what you were going to do, when you were going to do it, how you're going to do it, and it didn't happen the last 3 days in a row. So what's up? I mean, but think about it. If you didn't have the preamble conversation, where are you going to go? How
I
are you
mean,
going to handle it?
it's echoing so much of what I talk about with talking to patients about complications.
Totally.
You can't talk to the patient about a complication after the fact.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate problem that we have, what, 2-3% complication rate, maybe, but you have to talk about it with 100% of the cases.
Yeah.
And I think
Yeah.
this is the same thing that when you're doing delegation, shoot, you may have someone that you delegate to and they fly with it.
Yeah.
And you never have to say anything again.
Yeah.
But then you have people that, you tell them to do the suck down trays and you want them to trim the margins at this angle or use this burr or use this certain blade, and they're using a different blade, they're using a different burr, so it's a little rougher than it should be, or it's too thin at the margin, or whatever it is, right? And you can go back to them and say, "Hey, Martin, remember I showed you how we should use this
Yeah.
number 8 round burr, and you showed me and you were doing it really well, and that happened for a few weeks. I've seen the newest," whatever we're talking about, let's say, bleaching tray or something, and the margins look a little different. Can we go over this again? Because I want to make sure we're using the same thing. Because I also want to make sure that I explained it to you well. Like, I feel like
Yeah.
you could even bring it back up
Oh
and
yeah,
say,
100%.
let me first think that the blame is me.
Right. And for those that have had challenges with team members in the past, let's be clear. Look, if somebody is not rowing in the same direction, they're never going to row in the same direction. And so those, but what this does is it crosses all T's and dots all I's to make sure that the problem where the problem lies, because it could lie with you or it could lie with them. We don't know, right?
Or it
And
could lie with the
so
process.
correct,
It could be
correct.
with
But
neither people.
yeah, but here's the thing. If we get to that point and we ascertain that yes, they did have an understanding, yes, everything was documented as needed to be, yes, they just didn't do it, well, that's a different conversation now, isn't it? But to exist assuming that people are just not doing it because they don't care,
Yes.
I don't want to live that way.
Right. Let's bring this into landing. Let's kind of summarize what we talked about today. The answer is learning how to say no.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
I think this comes with age. I think it comes with maturity. I think it comes with practice. Remember, Martin and I are saying, I mean, everything we talk about on this podcast, so many things are skills that you can learn. You can learn how to do crucial conversations. You can learn how to write job descriptions. You can learn how to set expectations about complications with patients. You can learn how to dismiss patients. You can learn how to be better at exercising and dieting, and all of this stuff is learned. And so I think the first step is having awareness, like anything we talk about. So if you listen to this podcast, I would hope that you take some action. And if you want to start with a baby step, start with having awareness about boundaries. Anytime something happens, let's say a patient walked all over you, you said, "Yeah, whatever, Mrs. Jones, let's do it your way." Then sit there and say, that was a boundary that I missed. I missed that one. Okay, don't beat yourself up on it, but then be aware. It happens again. Ooh, I missed that one too. The person at Costco hands you the flyer that you don't need. You already have solar on your house, whatever. You just did a new kitchen. You don't need that. And then you say, "Oh, okay, I could practice that." Practice setting boundaries and they become easier.
And I think the one thing that I'd like to say that we've talked around but haven't said this bluntly is this. There's a reason why you're feeling the need to have the conversation around a broken boundary. And that conversation may concern you. And I'm going to ask you a question, which is this: which cost are you more willing to bear? The stress of every time you see a bleaching tray delivery and you know the assistant didn't trim it right? Or having the conversation so that you can celebrate the properly trimmed bleaching tray in this very simple example.
That's
Which do you
so true.
choose?
That's so true. And as you were saying that, I was kind of thinking of the setting boundaries with your family, because that's a hard one, right? It's the people that you love. And a lot of us do this with our marriages, with our relationships, with our kids. We will say, I don't want to have that difficult conversation with them. And then you just kind of deal with it, and then it creates resentment. And this happens with your patients, this happens with your team. But when you get comfortable having these boundary conversations, like my wife knows boundaries is something that I've been working on for a long time. So I can even bring it up and say, like, hey, honey, you know, I'm working on boundaries with all parts of my life. Like, this is something I'd like to talk to you about that I think could really help me or help us or help our relationship or help, you know, the kids. And it's funny how even just making them aware of me practicing boundaries allows this conversation to be more open.
Totally. No, I think that's great.
So I think in summary, what I've seen is many people in general, but also many dentists, are poor at setting boundaries. They're poor at setting boundaries with their team, with their patients, with their family, with strangers. And so practice this. Get training in this. I think if you do, if you have a growth mindset, and if you don't have this mindset, let's talk about patients, that every patient's going to leave my practice, it's much easier to do everything. It's like people that get rid of insurance. If you think every single one of your patients is going to stop coming to you when you get rid of insurance, first of all, you're wrong. But then you'll never do it. And that's why many people don't do it. But once you have this mindset that, listen, I can see 30% less people, and I can actually make more money and treat my patients better and have my team be less burned out and me less be less burned out and be home with my family more. Wow, that makes a lot of sense. And then you get good at being like, oh, Mrs. Jones didn't end up coming back. That's a shame. I really liked seeing her, but she values more a practice that has more insurance. It's like that's what I was talking about with Don on our last call. And it was so great to see him have set this boundary in his mind, enforce it, and his team is so happy. He is so happy. It's
They
really
are,
nice to
and
watch.
it's pretty wild because I was with his team not that long ago, and they even admitted how far they've come in their own mindset around this, and they realize their day is more relaxed. They're not running around. They're able to engage with the patients more. It was really cool to see because I've gotten to know not only Dom but his team quite well, and so that was super cool to see. Right, that was
Yeah. And I
awesome.
mean, that's the best part about what you and I do is seeing people progress. We've known a lot of the dentists that are either coaching clients of yours or have come into my courses or your courses or other courses together. And it's really, really beneficial to see them change, see them set boundaries, see them make different, get their priorities straight. And then the result usually is they make more money, which is crazy that like you can be happier and make more money. It's not or, it's usually and. Well, great. I think this is a good topic. I think the takeaway topic, the takeaway idea is learn how to say no.
And that it's a journey, not a destination. It's going to be challenging at first, and that's okay.
Totally, because you and I still are practicing this. We've gotten way better at it over the years. I can say no a lot easier than I could have before, but it's because guess what? I practiced at it just like anything.
And the world didn't come to an end.
Yes, that's right. I still have a job. I'm still making money. I still have loved ones. I still have friends, you know, like it doesn't go away. Well, if you guys liked this podcast and you have a colleague that you think could benefit from this, send it to them. Maybe it's your business partner. If you have business partners, this would be a good one too. Like, hey, let's start setting some boundaries with our patients, with our team. Let's set great expectations. Let's communicate this. And if you're interested in spending 2 days with Martin and I, we're super fun. Coming out with us May 9th and 10th at Glidewell in Irvine. You can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, go to the links, and you'll find all of our links there. But you'll also find our Lightside Live in-person workshop there. And we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and hope that you just have a lovely holiday with whoever you're with, your loved ones. And we appreciate you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry.
Sounds good.